Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Come on, May, sit down now. Come on, there's a good girl. Come on, good girl. Come on, sit down. You can talk to Sarah.
This one here, that one here to you. And bringing it down here for this one here, him. And because here too, for this one, this is a three.
It's probably about 10 years ago. And the first time I really noticed it was when we'd been out shopping and we had made 4 stops and then came home. And suddenly the handbag was missing. So I rang up each of the addresses we'd been at to inquire if the handbag had been found. They were all, no handbag. So We just put it down, you've lost the handbag. And a few days later, something else started going missing. And then I began to suspect that things were not at all as they should be.
I first met Matt and May last April. They are married over 41 years now. To a stranger, they look like the ideal retired couple, walking hand in hand and always by each other's side.
And I began to do my own search, and I found first the handbag upstairs in our wardrobe. I thought I mustn't make it too obvious, so I suggested that we would have a hunt for the handbag so that she could find it herself. Because it was at the time when she would accuse me of taking it or hiding it or something like that. We went through the motions and fair dues. We found the handbag. And she, of course, first thing she checked was the money. It was all there. And she used to take out about 50 or 70 pounds a week from the building society. It was just something she really wanted to do. You know, I think she wanted to be independent. So after a while, she'd accumulated about £300 or £400. And then one day, that went missing. And everybody was accused of pilfering the watch. And I found, when I was going around the house, I found a little compact thing where you got, like 2 lipsticks and something else in a plastic container. And lo and behold, included in behind them was £245. Never forget it. So I thought, right, say nothing, put it back, and wait till the query comes up. Fair dues, the next day, the query, I have lost, so many pounds. And I said, right, come with me. We went upstairs. And I said, open that wardrobe there. And she did. And I said, now take down that compact. She did. And I said, right, in there, what do you find? She said, it's empty. Now, that was the time I realized I should have taken the money in the first instance and then said, look what I found. But that money never turned up again. Yeah. Come on, May, sit down now. Come on, there's a good girl. Come on, good girl. Come on, sit down. Come on, sit down here.
Matt and May are both in their 70s now. For the last 8 or 9 years, they have had a different life. May has Alzheimer's. Over the years, nothing has changed their love for each other. Their story began with a chance meeting.
Ah, yes. Well, that was rather interesting. I went to Butlin's holiday camp in Mosny, and I got a job there as a lifeguard. And that was in 1959. And so the following year, I went back there for the summer job. And that was the year May turned up. She had come back from Spain, having spent 4 years there. And she and her friend were at a loose end, and they decided to come up to Butlin's. So that's how it all started. May worked in the holiday shop, and I used to come in and see her and buy cigarettes and whatever. And that was it. As they say, the rest is history. I was 22, and May, who is older than I am, she was about 24. And she was a tall, very slim, dark-haired young lady. I was about under 6 foot, wearing dark-rimmed spectacles, because May said it made me look like Cliff Richard. I couldn't really work that out, but I went along with most things she said at the time. I asked her once, you know, why was she... you know, what did she see in me, for goodness sake? And she said, well, you came in one day and wanted to buy a brooch. And she said, I thought it was for one of your girlfriends. And you told me that it was for your mother, that you were going down to Cork, you know. And I said, yeah, I remember that. And it was for my mum. And I remember the brooch so well. But she said, it was that, that's what... made her mind up. Anyway, I'm rambling.
And if there was lots of ladies in Butlins, what attracted you to me?
Oh, no. How do I know? I don't know. It's that little something that we have for each other. Yeah.
When I arrived to meet Matt and May for the first time, Matt's doing what he always does at this time of the morning, getting May ready for the day ahead.
Put your hands straight down. Yes. Put your arms straight down.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Come on. There we go.
May is no longer able to do anything for herself.
Now I'm going to give you some deodorant.
Matt has to do everything for her.
It's going to sting a bit, but... be all right, won't you? You want to be smelling nice.
Yes.
Yeah?
Every morning is the same for them. Yes. They get up.
Good girl.
He chooses her clothes.
There we are, Maisie. Used to wear that every day at one time.
He dresses her.
Yeah. Come on, give me a hand.
Takes her to the toilet.
Yes,
ma'am. That's it now.
Combs her hair.
No. All you have to do now is push your hand in there. Mm-hmm. That's it. Away you go.
In some ways, he's living life for both of them.
Right. Now, Teresa, yeah. Well, Teresa's in Dublin.
Yes, yes.
She might be coming down sometime. Right, you sit down there and I get your shoes now. Put on your medallion.
Okay.
Take your hand away now, Maisie. Good girl. Now, can you come in quickly and we brush your teeth? Just a few minutes. Come on. Good girl.
You see, May qualified as a children's nurse, and she got her badge, or cap and badge, as she used to say. And she took those qualities then into when she was looking after her own. We had two boys. In fact, I was talking to Mark the other day. He's the elder of the two. He's a barrister, and he specializes in family law. And he was saying to me that it's amazing, really, because he's so immersed in family law that he could see the basis of a good family and the basis of trouble and all this sort of thing. If you wanted to design a perfect family, he would use the system that May used to. So I thought I was very pleased to hear that, you know.
Was it difficult to decide to give up your job and to become full-time looking? Yeah,
a house husband, yeah, a carer, full-time carer. It was, because in one way, but the other bit was I was giving up something where I was leaving. I was getting up at 5:15 and leaving the house at 6:25 and coming back in at 6:20, you know, 12 hours away. So I wasn't giving up all that much, you know. But it was away from the problem. I knew there was a problem, and I thought, you know, I've got to give it up. You know, I didn't have much choice in the matter. And as I say, I gave it up, and then, you know, I started learning things, you know, for the first time, cooking and washing machines and, you know, that sort of thing.
Come on, Tracy, it's for you for bringing it in now.
Right. How long had it been since you had been kind of in charge of kind of the domestic world?
Well, May was doing it for, of the 41 years, she's been doing it for 31, you know, it's been 10 years since I adopted the mantle, you know.
And how do you find it?
Oh, it's fine. It's pretty tough at times. But with the help I get from people.
Matt and May have two children. That's one of them on the phone. Their two sons keep in regular contact, but they both live in England, where they were born and raised. Matt and May spent all their married life in London. But when May started to forget things, everything began to change.
You know, she used to cry quite a lot. And so I went to the doctor with her and explained that May was crying quite a lot. And he was therefore treating her for depression, which was almost right. But it went on for about 18 months, and she was on the tablets. And, you know, it certainly, there was an improvement. But then I realized there was something else. Well, I was reading a book, and I saw that Alzheimer's, that's what I thought was wrong. And in the book, they mentioned a certain drug as being very good for Alzheimer's. So I went to the doctor and said, could May be put on? No, he said, I can't make that decision. It has to be the decision of a specialist. So I said, okay, let's have the specialist. And in due course, we had a letter from the specialist asking us to go along for an interview. When we got there, I remember so well, it was a Nissen hut, you know, a wooden hut. And there was a sign above it, mental department. Now, this was at a time when May was still able to communicate and what have you. And she said, why are we going in here? There's nothing wrong with my, I'm not a mental case. And I just fobbed her off with some reason.
That day, the consultant diagnosed May with Alzheimer's disease. Shortly afterwards, Matt and May held a family meeting with their two sons. They all agreed Matt and May would return home to Ireland. This was partially due to the fact that Matt felt May would receive better care here. But he was also fulfilling a promise he made to her on their wedding day, that he would eventually bring her back home.
Now, Maisie, we're going to make some beef stew. Okay. There we are. We're almost there, Maisie.
Maisie, sit down there now. Come on, there's a good girl. This is lovely. Mm-hmm. And if you tuck in there now, Maisie, come on. She doesn't say very much in a way of being coherent. In fact, the one good thing is that she eats anything I put in front of her. In spite of... doing the same food quite a lot. I like chicken. It's easy to cook. And we do that quite a bit. And May will always eat the chicken casserole or whatever. I try and vary it, but it must be boring. But I've forgotten the question. God. Oh, yeah. She doesn't say much in the way of sentences that are lucid. But she will say occasionally when she's eating, that was lovely. And when I realise that we had a moment, I say, what did you say? And it's gone. We had Mark over here one time, Mark and Anna. And Mark said, did you hear that? And I said, no, what? And she said, he said to me, well, she said, I'm so pleased you came to see me. Now that was a tremendous breakthrough, you know. And you don't get many of them. The rest is usually rubbish. Biggest problem is knowing when she wants to go to the toilet. There are certain signs which I think I know. And as soon as I see those, I ask, do you want to go to the toilet? And you might get a yes, but then when you go to the toilet, she doesn't want to. She's a bit scared of sitting down on the loo. And I can't work that out. We had a problem when, you know, I mentioned we were away for the weekend. And we came down to breakfast this particular day. And we were shown a table. And I couldn't get her to sit down. So a couple of the girls on the other table came over to give me a hand.
And bring it in this one here, Tracy.
Yes, Maisie, that's right. So they came, and between us, we couldn't. We sort of we decided we'd walk around the chair, you know, see that it might be different the second time. So then we moved to a table near the wall, and eventually we got her to sit down. But one of the ladies that was there said said to May, "What's the matter? What's the matter, May?" And May said, "I'm afraid." Well, she didn't repeat it, but she said it to this lady. So there was something about sitting down which scares her, and I don't know what it is. But these are just things you try and combat and try and instill some confidence. We have an attachment for the lavatory attached to our bedroom, which we got from the I can't remember which department, but anyway, it's something that sits on top of the lavatory to make it higher up, and it's got arms like an armchair. And instead of
giving me confidence. It just scares the hell out of her. She will not sit down there. But, yes, that's right. Okay. She's very tired today because we had a problem about 1 o'clock this morning about trying to get her to go to sleep. And I ended up giving her a sleeping pill. I don't like giving them to her too often. I mean, the tablets I've got... No, Maisie, leave that again. The tablets I've got are 2 years old. You know, they haven't been used. So I give them to her very sparingly. But they do have almost an immediate effect. And within, like, 20 minutes, she's away. And unfortunately, then, when she gets up, the effect still lingers on. And I mean, if you weren't here now, she'd be sound asleep. I probably would as well, actually.
Yeah, that was nice. It's too very nice.
Yeah.
There you are. Yeah. It's nice now. If you want to go outside, you can see that there's one and two.
Yeah. You're tired, Maisie. Yeah? You can go to sleep later, okay?
Yes, my lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the girl. Yeah. Well, you know, when you've been together, what, 44 years? Yeah. You know, you do feel as if you drew the short straw. So it's not fair. If you were to allow yourself to dwell on it, you think, you know, this isn't right, this isn't fair. But then nothing's fair, you know. You're not entitled to anything. You just, you make a vow when you get married. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, until death us do part. And that's it. You just maintain the contract. That's it. That's as simple as it gets, I think. Everything centers around Alzheimer's. I can't remember. No, that's not right. I seem to... not realize that there was a time, pre-Alzheimer's, when everything was totally different. Now everything centers around May, and you just take it as being, you know, as a matter of fact. You go off to do some shopping, and you don't go without May. And I just say to her, you know, we go for a shop. We go and do this, we go and do that. And she said, fine. Well, she doesn't. I put on her jacket and off we go. And usually while we're out, we meet other like-minded people and what have you. And they're all so bloody marvellous, really, you know. Come up and say hello to May and, you know. And then they said to me, you're great, you know. And I thought, oh, God. I don't feel great, you know. And I think there are an awful lot of people who are far worse off than I am. And you really thank God for what you've got, really. But no, I'm not wonderful. Anyway, there we are. We must stand out like a couple of sore thumbs, you know, because we hold hands. And that is really essential that we do, because...
That's one coming down, 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 down. Yes.
But because she has, in the past, just walked off. And that isn't so bad in Tullamore, because...
This one here, Teresa, Josephine, here now, Teresa.
We're recognised, you know. And, but when it happened in Dublin one time, we came out of Arnott's department store, and we were walking towards the car park. May's brother-in-law, May and myself, and for some reason we were walking in single file and turned around, and there was
there was no sign
of May. She'd just gone, just the ground swallowed her up, anyway. We found her in like half an hour, but I thought it was more like 3 hours, because I thought, that's it, she's gone.
When people meet you in May when you're out and about, how do they respond to her? Do they know how to act?
Oh, yeah, they all do now. But it's rather like asking me if she takes sugar in her tea. I always say, you know, ask May. And they do. And it's very difficult, actually, you know, to be fair. It is very difficult for people to talk to somebody to whom or from whom they're unlikely to get a response. And, of course, after a while, they don't. They start or continue talking to me. Yeah, it's just one of those things that people get used to. But they are, by and large, they're very good, you know.
Prior to all this, did you ever discuss what you would do in retirement?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, I had the intention of coming to Ireland. And I also always fancied myself as being a bit of a carpenter. Which is not true. I'm not really any good at all. And perhaps it's just as well I never did embark on it. But I was going into the realms of cabinet making. And I had very definite views on what I would do. And they included making grandfather clocks, where I would buy the mechanism from an outfit in Germany, and I would hang on a tick. Oh yeah, and I would get old wardrobes, solid wardrobes, which are made from teak and all that sort of thing. Recycle them into making long case clocks. And that was going to be. And I think somebody up there must have thought, you know, it'll never work out. But anyway, and that was what I had intended. I really seriously thought about that. But you know what they say, how do you make God laugh? You tell him your plans. But there you go.
The second time I visit Matt and May, I join them for part of their daily routine, Mass. Attending church is the main focal point in the day for them. It's a reason to get up, a place to meet friends. For Matt, it ensures he'll buy the paper. For May, it's one of the last things that remain from her day-to-day life in England.
Yeah, How are you?
Yeah, how are she?
Very well. This young lady is recording everything we say.
Oh, is that right?
So just be careful.
Good.
We go swimming together, John and myself.
Anyway, I rather like these days, you know, with the mists and, what was it Keith said? Season of mists and mellow fruitfulness. Anyway, we're over here.
Yes.
You know, May has a favourite hymn.
Bring it him to it.
How great thou art.
And bring it down for this one here. We'll bring
and
in
the amazing thing, you know, she doesn't say much in the way of intelligent sentences. But when How Great Thou Art is being played in the church, she'll sing that almost word perfect. It's uncanny. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's hairy, you know. You just get little things on the back of your neck stand up, you know. It's incredible. Isn't that right, Mace?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Good girl. We say the Angelus, when the bell rings, it's broadcast on the radio, on Radio 1 anyway. And we say the Angelus, and I lead it into May, and actually it's very sweet, really. I start off by saying, "The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary," and then I give her the nod, and she nods back, and I say, "And she was conceived by the Holy Spirit." "That's right, Matt," she says. And then, because I can't remember the rest of the Angelus, I just say three Hail Marys. And May sometimes can remember the second half of the Hail Mary, but not always. But I have to smile when she says, "That's right, Matt." "That's right, Mace." Good girl.
The loss in the ability to communicate with people is one of the main characteristics of Alzheimer's. That's a massive change for a woman like May, who was so outgoing and friendly.
Many of the people who came after May had the Alzheimer's, and we were still living in Horsham, they would come up and say that May was the first person they spoke with when they arrived in the parish. And that would be, May would recognise them as being strangers and come up, introduce herself, and "I do this," and so on. And she would then take them along to the other members of the, I suppose, entertainments committee. They used to have a group called the Marthas, and they used to do everything in the parish. And May would introduce the new people to the Marthas. And that really showed how well organized she was in, you know. And it's true, because when you move, especially in the UK, when you're a stranger in a parish, you feel very vulnerable and, you know, you don't know anybody. And so it was lovely when somebody like May would come up and introduce herself, and then immediately you have maybe 20 friends all of a sudden, you know.
And did May have a lot of friends?
Oh, yes. But they were all Catholic, and as you can imagine, we had the few who were non-Catholic, like our neighbours. But we would meet people, you know, and we were like-minded people, naturally. If you're Catholic, you'd meet them Christmas and all the festivities, you know, Easter's and, you know, something like that.
Was her religion very important to her?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure. We didn't make a great thing about it. But I think it was just the fact that, you know, she didn't work, but she went to Mass every morning, and she used to have a gang there. And they would meet after Mass and have a coffee and what have you. And they would put the world right, and then off they'd go on their separate ways. And that was the way it really went, day after day.
Just as night falls, Matt takes me out to the back garden to show off the other love in his life.
Can you just describe what this is?
Oh, this is the pond. And these are Japanese koi. And normally we'd have a waterfall working over there. And the water comes down and it's rather nice sitting here in the summer with the water coming down and a bottle of white wine and so on. It's good.
And does May like the fish?
Well, she does. But at the same time, having said that, you wouldn't really know if she, she doesn't say a lot about them, There he is. Shaggy. That's his, he's a shagoi, is the type of koi. It's not, all the koi are different. There he comes now. Look, he's expecting food, but he's not very hopeful. Anyway, shall we wander in? I don't like him when I can't keep an eye on Maisie, so...
On my final visit to Matt and May, it's about 8 o'clock in the evening. Bedtime isn't too far off. The biggest change for Matt is that he's had to become the voice for both May and himself.
Well, I would come to May under normal circumstances, like pre-Alzheimer's, and would say, this is what I would like to do. What do you think? And she would say, no, and give me maybe 5 or 10 reasons why it wouldn't work. But now I have to make the decisions, and I haven't improved any. And so I make stupid decisions. But these mistakes would never have been made in pre-Alzheimer days, because May would have had control of the reins and the decision-making. I don't think too much about it now, to be honest, because I have a different set of priorities. And number one is looking after May. And if I end up wearing the wrong jacket at the wrong, as some do, or worse, if May ends up wearing, because I have to select her clothes. And so far, I've been pretty fortunate. The clothes that I selected. The boring Maisie. That says it all, really. But the clothes I have, the outfits I've selected, worked. Or so I've been told, anyway.
At 9 o'clock, Matt starts getting May ready for bed.
I take May into our bedroom and I get her ready for bed. And by 10 o'clock she's ready. And pop her in and I leave the door of the bathroom open with the light on so that there is light streaming out from the bathroom. And then I come in and that's... the time I have to myself. What between then and by the time I go to bed, May could sleep for Ireland, I reckon. Yeah, she does. I mean, she gets as much as she can, really. Before we go to bed, May will sleep from 7 till 9. I have to wake her up to take her in, and she always smiles when I wake her up, and she's lovely like that, and she's never cross or what have you. You're a good old skin, aren't you, Maisie? Yes, of course you are. Yeah.
Alzheimer's is a strange disease. It takes over a person bit by bit. For those watching on, it's a difficult experience seeing their loved ones fade.
You lose the ability to read, to get enjoyment from television or anything like that. It just goes. And there will be a time when my ability to look after May will diminish to an extent that I will have to call in somebody else. People call it the long goodbye, which is the best definition, I think, of Alzheimer's. They're not dead, but... And you don't die of Alzheimer's. But they do say that Alzheimer's can last up to 15 years. And then you think about that. You think, gosh, how long have I got? So we're 8 years there. So we have, 7 years to go.
Do you think about the future then?
No. No, it's similar to the answers you get from footballers. Play every day as it comes.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.